Wouldn't it be nice to know a person's phone number just by looking at them?
Good morning. Coffee?
Sally Dibs, Dibs Sally. 461-00192.
How did you know my phone number?
How did you know that?
She said read the telephone book last night. Dibs Sally. 461-0192.
That's Dustin Hoffman in Rain Man playing an autistic character, a numbers prodigy creeping out that waitress in the very famous scene. The link between autism and a kind of convenient Hollywood supertalent is a myth grounded in science, but still mysterious. A new book tries to get at that science. It's called The Prodigy's Cousin, and the researchers behind it claim that young prodigies and children on the autism spectrum share more than traits. There may be a genetic link between prodigies and children with autism. The co-authors of that new book also happen to be mother and daughter, professor of psychology Joanne Ruthsatz and journalist Kimberly Stevens.
This connection between autism and talent has become fairly well recognized. You know, today we even have stereotypes about autistic genius, like the brilliant but awkward Silicon Valley programmer or the absent-minded professor. But child prodigies aren't typically autistic. So the idea that a link to autism might fuel their talents was very intriguing and fascinating to investigate. Autism can come with real challenges, but it does also come with, you know, in many cases, these very distinct strengths, like extreme memory and excellent attention to detail, and this tendency toward very passionate interests. And I think that the child prodigies can be a very powerful reminder of how incredible those strengths can really be.
What accompanies the prodigy behavior? It's not simply playing the piano or exhibiting a particular genius. Are there social skills that a prodigy will have that are different from what you typically and often very frighteningly find in cases of severe autism?
Absolutely. They lack the deficits of autism, but they maintain the strengths, the extreme attention to detail, the extraordinary memory. They have an overrepresentation of autism in their families. They have no language deficits, obviously. And so what we see is autism, just the talent, and none of the deficits.
And how do the families deal with it? Is it a feeling of being gifted? Is it a feeling of being cursed is too strong a word, but how do families absorb this reality into their generation-to-generation growth?
I was always struck by how frank the parents were, both about sort of the incredibleness of seeing their child do things that were totally unexpected for their age. Just to give you one example, Lucy had a son, William, who at 2 years old started using his older brother's magnets to spell out words. And one day she came down and found that he had spelled out the months of the year correctly and in order, and there was no calendar in the house. So the moments can be truly jaw-dropping. And, you know, this is an unexpected path, and it comes with questions about sometimes financial. You know, how are we going to pay for college courses for an 8-year-old, or how are we going to handle media interest? Is a traditional education going to work for this child? So it was always very interesting to hear their stories and how they handled it.
How much were you struck about the complexity of the brain itself in seeing these relationships come out in your investigation?
I was most struck by the fact that IQ, which I thought was going to be a major component in becoming a prodigy, really only predicted the type of prodigy you were going to be. And so the math prodigies had the highest IQ. The music prodigies had the highest working memory, even though they all had extraordinary working memories. And the art prodigies actually had a deficit in visual spatial skills. I was just blown away by that, because after my first art prodigy, I thought, what am I going to do with this data? She's below average in visual spatial. I thought she would be extraordinary in it. But I got four more, and they were all below average. And I think that's because they see the world differently. It's part of their talent.
Your book says, that there's a family link. It's actually the subtitle, the family link between autism and extraordinary talent. Do you think you've acquired enough data to say that there is a profile here, a specific set of occurrences that produces a high likelihood that this is in fact the case?
So in addition to the the family link, you do see these shared behavioral and cognitive traits. And the first of these is working memory, and this tends to be very extreme in the prodigies. I think every one of them has tested in the 99th percentile on this trait. The calendar example actually is a perfect example of that, that he saw a calendar somewhere and remembered not just the order of the months, but how to spell them. And these kids also all have really, really excellent attention to detail. You know, one of them lives in New York City, and it bothers him when the subway chimes are a half step off. And they all show this really tremendous passion for their areas of interest. So, you know, this isn't necessarily a kid who paints a couple times a week. You know, these kids, when they find their area of interest, one of the art prodigies would rush to the art room at every break in class. You know, she'd hurry to the library to read about other artists, and then she'd stay up all night to paint. It's a very strong internal drive.
Well, a great mother and daughter story becomes a really important scientific story about the link between child prodigies and autism. The book is The Prodigy's Cousin. Joanne and Kimberly, thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.